And a break now from the coronavirus for a new book called Final Draft, the collected work of David Carr. The journalist David Carr died in 2015 at 58 years old, and he was admired as a master of his craft. Here he is in 2008 on Charlie Rose talking about his memoir, The Night of the Gun.
If I say, you know, as an addict, I got, I sobered up, got custody of my children, got us off welfare, survived cancer.
Right.
And then got a great job. That's one story. And that's the story I like to tell. But there's another story about somebody who was a full-on maniac, sowed ruin in everyone's lives who he came into contact with, created enormous collateral damage, and either through luck or pluck made it away from that. And both those stories are equally true. I think there's one that makes a little better media narrative, and it's about...
That's a second.
It's about a thug who works at the New York Times.
Yeah,
that's exactly. A pretty good reductive piece of analysis. I'd write that story.
Final Draft includes Carr stories on everything from living in a drug rehab center to celebrity profiles to single fatherhood to the media business. The book was edited by Jill Rooney Carr, David Carr's widow, who joins us now. Jill, welcome.
Thank you, Jeremy. Good to speak with you.
Well, and I want to get to the idea of what David Carr would think in this unbelievable moment that we're all experiencing right now. But first of all, let me just ask you why you decided to put together so much of his work into this book.
There was a great deal of material that, you know, David was prolific and he produced so much in his career. And he was a saver. And so although nothing was well organized or necessarily filed or anything like that, it was literally old papers and cardboard boxes and clippings. And once I sort of came through the tunnel of grief and was on the other side, I thought, one, I would like to honor his legacy first and foremost, but also there's so much of his early work that holds up. And a lot of that hadn't been read or seen in years, and much of it wasn't digitized. So putting it in the book form, I thought, would be a good endeavor.
One of the things that's so amazing to me as I read some of his early work, and you're talking about things that he was doing as a reporter in Minnesota, is that he would take on these stories and the empathy would come through so much that it would be a story about a person who was going through something, maybe somebody who'd just been diagnosed with HIV. And David Carr really entered the world of that person and brought that person's story to everybody who was reading.
I think that was one of his very special gifts, and it's rare. Most people have subject matter expertise. David brought enthusiasm and smarts to any subject, everything he worked on, whether it was a cultural piece, a piece about a musician, a captain of industry. He really zeroed in with people quickly and well, and people responded to that.
How did you go about deciding which pieces would go in here?
I read everything. It took a while, and I pretty much just chose the best of the best.
So give me an example. Do you have one that you could read a little bit of it to us?
Sure. I will read you three paragraphs of a piece entitled Breaking Away, But by the Rules. It ran August 29th in the New York Times, 2003. Every summer for the last 3 years, my family has left our home in suburban New Jersey for weekends at a camp in the southern reaches of the Adirondacks in upstate New York. Our getaway, a cabin with a tin roof but nice wood floors, is framed by a low-slung mountain rising over Jenny Lake, a glorious little spring-fed oasis. To buy the camp, we sought and obtained membership in the Tuiskaroo Association, which governs our part of the lake. In an official history that was written in 1976, to celebrate the 50-year anniversary of Tuiskaroo, there are two divergent translations of the name, Bright and Sparkling Waters or Place of Chilly Winds. But when I bought the place from a friend and I asked where the name Tuiskaroo came from, he had another explanation. Oh, that's Iroquois for Lake of Many Rules, he deadpanned. The rules are mostly common sense but strictly observed, as if a children's summer camp had suddenly been invaded by mature, scrupulously careful Eagle Scouts. The rules begin with there being no motors allowed on the lake, a glorious one that, and then descend through a litany of evils that include fishing or boating in the swimming area, clearing trees without board's permission, and listening to Eminem or any other amplified music on the beach.
What do you think when you read that now?
Well, it makes me happy because it not only is it clever and amusing, but it reminds me of those very days.
You can hear his voice as you read that. I mean, I met him once, had a chat with him. I've certainly heard him talking before. And as I was reading this, I would hear his voice in just about everything that I was reading.
Absolutely. Very distinctive. So well-toned. Humor often is featured. It makes me happy to read it.
There's one passage in here that I want to read, which he's talking about his own battle with cancer. And he ends this piece by saying, "My doctors tell me that I am free of cancer, but that's not really true. When I catch an image of myself in a mirror, it is apprehension, not vanity, that is reflected. The frightful alien in my dreams is now in remission, and if he returns, he will be in a form I now recognize. He will look like me, except he will have cancer." Just an amazing way of putting that.
It is, and his own life experience informed his work and how he told a story and showed you, and that's so valuable. And I think that had an influence and informed how he dealt with everyone that he wrote about.
He talks a lot about his own battle with addiction and the recovery.
Right. You know, it was important for him to maintain his sobriety by saying it and not hiding it and not, you know, sort of acting like that was a different him and a different part of his life. It was very much a part of who he was.
David Carr is no longer with us, but he did serve as a mentor to so many journalists, including Ta-Nehisi Coates, who writes a foreword in this book. Tell us a little bit about some of the journalists that can carry on some of his legacy now.
Oh, some of the folks along the way that David had strong relationships with were Eric Wemple, Amanda Ripley, Brian Stelter, just to name a few.
And what do you think he taught them?
He taught them, you know, specific elements of the craft, but also the human side of it and what it means to stick to a story. And, you know, he would frequently say, show, don't tell. So do your job and do it super well. And you got to be the human, too.
You know, speaking of being the human, I have to say that one of the things that really stuck out to me in this book is he did a sort of a review of the Acela Amtrak train back in 2001. And he starts it off with a family of train enthusiasts with two little kids who are going every day to watch the Acela come through. And they're so excited about it. I just thought that was such an interesting way to start that story.
Yes, I agree. And if you were to ask me, you know, to tell you my favorite selections in the book, that's chief among them. It was both an interesting story about transportation, its failures, and he painted a picture. You could totally picture yourself being on that train.
Yeah, exactly. And it makes me think that it's not as good as I sort of think of it today, because it is the fastest one. But I mean, he really does not paint it in a very nice light.
Right. And there again, that's an example of that was something he knew nothing about, right? He knew nothing about the train infrastructure and so on. And look what we learned from that. It was amazing.
What do you think David Carr would think of what we're all going through right now?
I think could relate to what's going on right now on many levels, both personally, health-wise, but probably most importantly, I think he'd want to continue to drive the message that now more than ever, we need the voice of good journalists, the integrity, the purpose. But he actually had this way of seeing around the corner. So I think he'd be writing something that none of us have even thought of yet.
That is Jill Rooney Carr, who is the widow of journalist David Carr and the editor of a new book of his work. It's called Final Draft, The Collected Work of David Carr. Jill, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.
You can read an excerpt from the book at hereandnow.org. The book also includes the course syllabus for David Carr's class at Boston University, in which he tells students, quote, "Your professor has a lot of ideas about a lot of things, some of which are good. We will figure out which is which together."